Good Saturday afternoon to you, and on behalf of Robinette and Amy and Tristan and Bradley, Brother Rick and Eileen's sister Rachel and others in the family, welcome. And thank you for being here. This is a happy occasion. We are thankful to be a part of a homegoing celebration for a sister in Christ. My first year here, I had grand ideas of what I needed to do as a pastor. And I am thankful that in my first month, Robinette told me about an Eileen Richards that I needed to go see, who happened to be not only a church member, but also her mother. And she was needing prayer before headed to the hospital. And I'm so thankful. I must tell you, when I came here as the pastor in June, I felt like I was just a little bit behind. We have a membership, an active membership, that is primarily one-third of people that we might consider in the last third of their life. And so I felt like that we needed to have lots of opportunities to visit. And Eileen was one of five great-grandmothers in our church that came to church with her great-grandchildren. And we are down to four. And I am thankful for the Hensleys and the Stars and the Hoyles and the other family. And then now we say farewell to Eileen Richard, but not goodbye, but see you later. And so we are thankful for the opportunity. I had the great opportunity to catch up a little bit. I was counting through the 7 months, and there were about 28 times that Eileen and I were able to visit one another. And I am just so thankful that even though I was never able to preach to her here in this building, we had the opportunity to get DVDs to her, and she was able to enjoy the services in some measure. And this is a grand occasion. So again, dear family, thank you for allowing us to share in this homegoing celebration. We understand in this day and age, when it is difficult for people to talk about this thing of saying goodbye, that it is much easier to not even have a service. Many have resorted to that. And we're thankful that you have decided to indeed share this with us. Robinette, thank you. Amy, thank you for allowing us to share in this opportunity. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God, we know that everything you do is timely and right. Everything you do is perfect. There have been many times in our lives when we have wondered about your timing and about your plan, but you have never been late. You have never been underpowered. You have never been unable or unwilling. And so in these moments that are soon to follow, we thank you for the opportunity to enjoy. We've had the great opportunity to meet people who have been touched by Eileen. We've had the opportunity to observe some of her hobbies and work over here and the things that she did in her worship to you. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to enjoy the homegoing celebrations. And we're thankful for the reunion that she's experiencing with her late husband. And we are thankful for the reunion that she's experiencing with her sisters in Christ that have preceded her here in just the last few months. Jeannie Duckworth and Jenny Franklin and Arlene Owens, just to name a few of those who have gone on before us. And now, O God, we commit to you this time together in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand with us, and we're going to sing out of the hymnal, page 330, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
19, and we'll sing, "Shall We Gather at the River?"
Will come now. He is, to many of you already know, Brother Rick is Eileen's son-in-law, and he's a deacon here at the Sandy Ridge Baptist Church. And Brother Rick, please come and share what the Lord has placed on your heart. Yes, sir.
Hey, baby. First off, let me say this. It's up to her. Only happiness and smiling at this service today. That's what she would want. I have been in this family for 40 couple years now. What a pleasure it was to know this sweet woman. In fact, my wife does not know this, but I took a picture before I left the house. 5 generations. Grandma Sock laying in bed. Grandma Bowman standing behind her. My mother-in-law standing beside of her. My wife in front of my mother-in-law, and my daughter Amy laying in bed with Grandma Sock. Without a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, all 5 generations know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I can about point to everyone that I know right here of the family that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These women have passed down who Jesus Christ meant in their life, as my mother-in-law did with her daughter and her son. And they are passing it down to their kids and their grandkids about what Jesus Christ means to them. See, we don't have to worry about her today, folks. Believe me, she's alive and well. Yes, that tabernacle that she, when she was here on this earth, lays right here. But believe me, where she's at right now, she is jumping for joy. Every day is Sunday where she's at. They are gathered around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I wanted to share this with you because it's my favorite book in the Bible. It's the book of Job. And you have heard this at every celebration of life just about that you've been to. And Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord give, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I will share just a couple seconds with you of this, of what its meaning is. This man Job was the most righteous man on earth. He was upright. He shunned evil and he feared God. And all of a sudden, all 10 of his children were taken away from him. In one instance, 11,000 head of livestock was wiped out. His business was gone. The only one left was his wife. All of his servants were gone but a couple. And yet he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." He knew that God was the giver, the sustainer, and the taker of life, and no one else. He eyed not only the hand of God, but the name of God, too. Satan tried to get Job to curse God, but he would not. That's the way my mother-in-law's thoughts were. First, it was God. Second, it was family. If you wanted to make her smile, mention her family. She had two great kids. And then along came grandkids. And then along came great-grandkids. And if you wanted to see this lady light up with joy, watch her in front of her grandbabies and great-grandbabies. She might be gone from this body, folks, but one day, if you are a believer in Christ, you will get to meet her again. And believe me, she is going to welcome us with open arms when we get to heaven. I want to instill that into my grandkids, that if you ever want to see Nan Nan again, Jesus Christ has to be your Lord and Savior. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Eileen had just a couple of Sunday school teachers here, even though I understand that she was a member here since the 60s, if memory serves. And one of our Sunday school teachers is Brother Guy Stafford. My brother, would you please come and share what the Lord has placed upon your heart?
You can plan all you want to what you're going to say at something like this, and then Rick gets up and takes all the smoke away. But, I pretended to be a Sunday school teacher for some, I don't know, 15 years or something. And we started the senior couples class, and there was four charter members, and Robert and Eileen was four couples, and they was one of the couples that was in the class. It grew to some 50 members at one time, and they were always there. Robert didn't tend to, he said he just wasn't going to no men's class, he wanted to go with his wife. So when we started the Sunday school class, here they come, and they're there every Sunday, unless they were sick or something bad happened. But I want to give you just a little rundown on me and the Bowman family. When I was just a little feller, a long time ago, I lived about half a mile from where Ern Bowman lived. And Eileen and I think it was her and Rachel and the two younger boys, Joe and Dan, went with us to, we'd pick them up on Sunday morning and go to East Hickory Baptist Church and bring them back. Because, you know, everybody back any minute long ago, I know it ain't, but everybody didn't have a car in the family then. Instead of everybody in the family having a car, there might be one car to the family. But we'd pick them up and we'd go to church on Sunday morning. I learned to know a man. I went to school with him, St. Stephen's. Joe and I graduated the same year. And I've always been sort of entwined with Bowman's. And of course, me and Robert became good friends later on when he got in the picture. But my family moved down here. We called it the country then. It's 5 minutes away now. But anyway, my family moved down here and we came to Sandy Ridge. And, I don't know when it was that Eileen and her family came here. But anyway, probably in the 60s. And so then we struck up friendship again because we were at the same church. Mike Beasley asked me if I would start a Sunday school class, and I said, oh yeah, I'll try to if I have to. I mean, he did, it wasn't the first time he mentioned it, let me tell you. But after a while, he wore me down, and I said, okay, we'll do it, provided I can talk to some people before we start it. And he gave me, four or five different families, and I went to see them. Talked to Robert, he said, now that's going to be me and my wife in that Sunday school class, right? I said, yeah, y'all will come. He said, we'll be there. And so, like I said, we built the class, we loved each other like brothers and sisters, and we've done a lot of traveling. Let me see, where did we all go? I got that wrote down. But anyway, we went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to see some productions up there. We went to Lake Lure and ride the boat. We, you know, Gatlin or Pigeon Forge and up to Price Park to picnic. We went somewhere a lot. And we were just like a bunch of brothers and sisters. And you could always see her with a smile on her face. She was a smiler. Now, I don't know where she got my name, but she nicknamed me. I don't know how in the world anybody would think of a thing like this, but she called me Meanus. But we all loved each other. We were greatest of friends, and she's going to be missed here, but she is sure going to be an asset. I promise you, that's just like a lot of other saints that I've known that have gone on to be with the Lord. I just envy what they are doing.
Because I know there's no night and there's no day. From my understanding, I wouldn't even have to talk to Rick Hedrick because he would know my thoughts. We just converse, you know, back and forth. Just think about what heaven is. Think about how great it will be to be there with the Son of God who gave his life to save us from going to a devil's hell. Can you think about anybody that would say, well, I'm just going to go to hell? Boy, bless your heart, if you do. Whoops. You don't want to go to hell. And Aline was one of those that knew she wasn't going. Praise the Lord. He saved me. You know, it's so great to be able to have that voice for the throne of God. You know, I got an old stupid cell phone in my pocket. I never have learned to use it, and probably never will, because it's one of those smartphones and I'm a dummy. But, you know, most anywhere I'm at, I can contact somebody. But whether that thing's working or whether it ain't, I can always contact God Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Aline's going to be missed, but this is not, you know, this is a homecoming. She would want us all to be happy.
Amen.
I think.
Thank you, Brother Guy. Much appreciated. My heart was blessed. Thank you very much. So as these ladies are getting set up, I need to tell you a little story. I would go and see Aline just about every week. There was a couple weeks where on my way over, I found out that she was on her way to the hospital. And so I missed her a week or two here or there. But in any case, I have kind of some notes I'm taking on some of my members that don't make it to church very often, where I might sense that they might be on the last lap maybe. And so I started asking her some questions about her favorite scriptures and about her favorite music. And I said, Aline, what might be one of your favorite songs? And I'm thinking, Roll Is Called Up Yonder, When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day That Will Be, you know, something. She said, Mary, Did You Know? And I like Mary, Did You Know? But I wasn't expecting something so Christmassy. But I do enjoy the song. It's worth listening to year-round, isn't it? In passing, you'll notice in your bulletin, it has the pallbearers listed. Eric Bowman is not here today. He is with Aline's uncle, Uncle Joe, who is in, Robinette's, thank you. Aline doesn't have, I don't think, a living uncle anymore. Robinette's Uncle Joe, Aline's brother. Joe is in surgery right now, if memory serves. So Aline's brother, Joe, is in surgery right now. They think he had a heart attack Thursday night, is that correct? And so you be in prayer for him. Why don't we pray for him together? Now, Tristan Haddock is going to fill in, and he'll do fine. I was 16 years old when I served as a pallbearer for my great-grandfather. I'm sure you'll do just fine. You've got five strong men to help you, and you look like you can handle the job anyway. Let's pray for Joe right now. Lord God of heaven and earth, we know you're able to do all things. So guide the surgeon's hands even now, and continue to bless the rest of this service for your great name's sake. Amen.
Blind man.
Song Eileen picked, don't you think? Amen. I praise God for good music. And some of it's a little newer. I enjoy that song. That was good. So I was very thankful for all the conversations I had with Eileen, and I must tell you, she had to work real hard at listening to me. I know you can find that hard to believe, but I've been told I speak a little fast sometimes. And so that made our visits pretty eventful when it came to listening. And so I had to learn to speak louder and slower. And she was very gracious to me, a woman of many smiles. I was struck by her interest in her great-grandchildren. I still have a grandfather who lives. He's 94 years old, and I'm thankful for him. And he has limited energy to show interest in his great-grandchildren, my own three children. And yet, I'm so thankful. But she showed unusual interest in her great-grandchildren. I always talk to children, and I always try to let them know that if they have grandchildren, let alone great-grandchildren, they are incredibly blessed. And they ought to take those opportunities to pull away from their phones and iPads to talk, have real-life conversation with people. I mean, eyeball to eyeball. And so she was always eager to have guests. When I would call, maybe it's wrong to reject a visit from your pastor, but she not one time said, nah, tomorrow would be better. She always said, come on by. And then later on, when she was regularly in the hospital bed in her front room, Robinette told me, Eileen told me, that it'd be best just to go on inside and knock and then go on inside. And then later on, there was a key that was told where it was and that I should use it to visit her. And so lots of quality conversation. She had a legitimate interest in the members of this church. When Jeannie Duckworth was on her way to heaven, Eileen was interested. When Jenny Franklin left us in November, Eileen was legitimately interested. When Arlene Owens left us in November, Eileen was legitimately interested. She was a woman who prayed often and wanted to know many details. And I'm thankful. But my words are not going to be more meaningful than the heartfelt sentiment of her daughter, Robinette. So here's how Robinette would describe her mother. Mom, Eileen Bowman Richard was born the second child of five to Ernest and Cleo Bowman on May 30th. She was a sister to four. They had their moments, as all siblings do, but she loved them all. She was a wife to one. She was 23 when she got married at Highland Baptist Church on November 20th, right after the Sunday service. That's one way to get a lot of people to attend your wedding, isn't it? Yeah. She was a mother of two, a son and a daughter. She loved them both dearly. She was grandma to four, three granddaughters and a grandson, whom she, quote, spoiled with love, unquote. She was a great-grandmother to Nan-Nan to eight. She loved them all and gave great hugs every chance she got. She was a loving aunt and great-aunt to many. She was friendly to all those who she met, and although she was a sweet, quieted, spirited woman, she gave great hugs and smiles to all who passed her way. In evenings after her work was done, she enjoyed doing cross-stitching and needlepoint. You can see some of those right over here. Many of you already have. It was relaxing to her. When she was finished, she would give them to family and friends. It was her, quote, labor of love, unquote. She loved her church family and enjoyed time spent in worship and fellowship with them. She most of all loved Jesus, her Lord and Savior, the one who loved her first before she ever knew him. Think about that. That's well written, sister. That's well written. Words are containers of truth, and you have done a good job of spelling out your mother's character when you say that Jesus was her greatest love, the one who showed her what real love is and loved her before she ever knew him. Whether it be a smile, a kind word, or deed done for another without expecting anything in return, the one who saved her soul, the one in whose presence she now abides. She lived and she loved. To God be the glory. Robinette continues, I believe my mother is more alive today in heaven with Jesus and family and friends, where our love is perfected in the presence of God the Father and Jesus his Son. Well said. In your bulletin on the lower left corner, I believe it is, on the inside below the order of worship, you have two scripture verses that I would like to read, and I will share just a few words, and we will go to Catawba Memorial Gardens, I believe it's called, Catawba. And so I will take the scripture reading for just a few minutes from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. It was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. It was fitting for him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, this is in your bulletin, lower left corner. For both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. This is a striking verse. And then we'll look at the other verse in your bulletin as well. In verse number 16 of Hebrews 11, it says the following. But now they, these who all died in faith, verse 13, these who all died in faith desire a better or heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So again, in review, two phrases that are found in both verses that should draw our attention to heaven. Verse 11 of chapter 2, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then chapter 11, verse 16, God is not ashamed to be called their God. There are basically, I think, a couple phenomenal things about these two verses, brothers and sisters, as we consider Eileen Richards. And so here they are, very general. Number one, Eileen Richards and all who are saved in this assembly today, you have two things in common. Number one, God is not ashamed to be your God. And number two, Jesus is not ashamed to be your brother. Powerful. It's incredibly powerful. I guess the reason it's powerful is because the honest truth is many of us hear good news and we think, of course God loves me. I'm lovable. But the reality is, if we had even an infinitesimal idea of what our sin does to God, it would shock us, this miracle of anyone loving us, let alone God and His Son. And here we have the reality, but the amazing thing, and by the way, also in chapter 11, verse 16, is this idea of God preparing a city for Eileen and her brothers and sisters in Christ. God is preparing a city. That's wonderful. But the most amazing thing about this, the more amazing thing, to draw us back to the event of the day and to land this plane and to enjoy one more song and then to enjoy our time at the burial grounds is this 11 verse 16. We understand that Eileen is particularly, not generally in mind like you and I, but today she is particularly in mind in these verses. Particularly in mind. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts and we're done. Here we go. Jesus loves, think this through. This is phenomenal. It's enough to drive you mad. Think this through. Jesus loves singing and worshiping right now in glory with her. That, if we kept it general, that would have been phenomenal. But the reality is that I'm amazed that God loves everyone, but I'm enamored that He loves me. And today, it's not just good enough that the Lord Jesus loved Eileen, died for Eileen, and God loves Eileen and wants Eileen saved. The phenomenal thing is that God did save Eileen. Jesus did die for Eileen, and not just the whole world, but Eileen. It's phenomenal. It's great. And it's true about you. It's true about you. He tasted death in our passage today for every man and woman. That is, it's earth-shattering, really. But my point, I want to say it again, and I'm going to read it out of the verse. Right now, in heaven, around God's throne, Jesus loves singing and worshiping in glory with Eileen. I'll read the verse again. Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one. Jesus, Eileen, one. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call her a sister, saying, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Jesus, the Son of God, said, I love singing praise to the Father. And I love singing praise to the Father with Sister Eileen. It's just fantastic. You know, I'm thrilled that it's true about Eileen. I'm grateful it's true about me. But it is a current reality. For 72 hours, she has not lived on the planet. Light years of travel, like that, at the speed of thought, she wakes up in the presence of her God. It's phenomenal. They can't travel that fast. But she did. Like that. So that's good. I lose myself sometimes thinking about it. The second thing I'd like you to consider is that God loved, this is great, this is right out of the passage. God loves revealing Himself right now to Eileen. Now, it's one thing that Jesus loves worshiping with Eileen in the midst of the assembly in heaven. It's one thing. It is quite another thing when we read that He brought many sons and daughters to glory. And then here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that God is not ashamed to be her God. He's not ashamed to be the children of God's God. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed. Now, usually when we think about shame, we think about Adam and Eve in the garden, right? All right, so someone help me out here. When Adam and Eve were ashamed, what did they do? They clothed themselves. They covered up something. So when it says in Hebrews 11:16 that God is not ashamed to be Eileen's God, it means that he uncovers and reveals his glory. There's no shame. God is not covering up his glory. Eileen is equipped now with her body not made with hands, eternal to heavens, as Brother Rick said. She is equipped to behold the very glory of God. So when it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that the goal of God through Jesus was to bring many sons and daughters to glory, there is no higher glory than God. And so God in heaven right now is revealing the brightest of glories that ever existed and exists and ever will exist. He is showing himself in all of his glory to this sister in Christ. Couldn't get up 4 days ago, 3 days ago, sees the glory of God. Phenomenal. What a change. What an exchange. Look what she traded. That's good news for modern man. You can't improve on that hope. So, we have this very strange religion in America where going to heaven is a whole lot better than going to hell. And this comes through in a way we plead with people to get saved. We say things, particularly in funerals. Please get saved so you can see grandma, great-grandma, mom, mother-in-law, whatever. Get saved so you see them again. We have a very man-centered way of preaching the gospel in America. Think through this. Get saved so you can see your loved ones. Get saved so you can have a new body. These are all wonderful benefits of being saved, but they actually almost provide this illusion that you can be saved from the penalty of sinfulness without being saved from the power of selfishness. And so at the end of verse 16, it says, at the end of verse 16 of chapter 11, verse 16, the first part, they desire a better heavenly country. Brothers and sisters, it wasn't like Eileen thought this way. Well, if I have to die, it's a good thing I'm going to heaven. Eileen had a legitimate desire to be with God and a legitimate desire to be in heaven. You see, if we don't change the way that we preach the gospel, we have a theoretical possibility that heaven could be filled with people that wanted to see their families again but don't love God very much. If we keep preaching the gospel the way that we are, I'm talking about in America, certainly not in this church, definitely not in the other churches represented here. But in the gospel in America, we have this very strange, underhanded way of serving self again. Heaven, theoretically, by this gospel, is a wonderful alternative to burning in hell, but it could be under that theory filled. Heaven could be filled with people who don't love hell at all, but definitely don't love God. I'm thankful that the first part of this verse does away with that little theory. And I'm moreover thankful that standing before you today, in my hours of opportunity with Eileen, she fits the description of the first part of verse 16. She desired a better country. In other words, brothers and sisters, it wasn't like it was a great alternative to going to hell. It wasn't like it was a great alternative to living here if I have to live here with cancer. It was absolutely her desire. It was a part of her core. In other words, she felt like she belonged there before she arrived there. Amen. And in today's American Christianology, churchianity, we have this strange possibility that people can hate what's going on in heaven and still, somehow, while they're here, expect to go there. Not so with our sister. She looked like she belonged there before she went there. In conversation with her, she sounded like she belonged there before she went there. She looked like she belonged there. She acted like she belonged there. It wasn't just a profession of faith. Well, if I have to go to, what's the alternative to going to hell? Okay, what are the words I need to say? It was a, no kidding, legitimate saving faith in Jesus. As far as I'm concerned, the best I can tell, it was a saving faith. That when I would ask her of her profession, it was a weak in far as her ability to enunciate with strength, to rear up in her bed. She never said, yes, I am saved, saved, saved. Give me a pen, I'll write an article. It was more of a calm assurance that Christ was her Savior, and I am thankful. So the third marvel is that not only is God revealing himself right now to Eileen, not only is Jesus very much thankful to be singing right now with Eileen, but here is the third marvel, and we're done. God has constructed a dwelling place for Eileen. The welcome mat has her name on it. The address, her mailbox, I don't know what her new name is. You read about that in the book of Revelation, right? I don't know what her new name is. I don't know what it says on that white stone. I don't know what it says in the Lamb's Book of Life. She has a new name. I don't know if I'll know her as Eileen Richard, but whatever her name is in that city, her mansion is marked. You see, he's preparing for them a city. 20th Street Northeast has had my attention for many months now. And I have admired the brickwork around the property as the outdoor oven leading all the way up to that. Rachel finally told me it was a dog box in the brick wall. Very impressive. The chains around the large limbs of the tree out front that tell stories of swings that used to be there. I have thought about the work that went into caring for that home almost 60 years. And I can tell you that she has made, regardless of how wonderful her home is, she has made an upgrade. There has been a wonderful upgrade. And as a church, in our travels through 2 Corinthians, we have noticed in chapter 5, she has a body not made with hands. We discussed that her address has changed, her citizenship has changed, her duties as a daughter of God now in heaven have changed. In this church, we preached 2 sermons in Revelation where we've shown and noticed that the servants of God actually do minister in heaven. She is doing things today. In the presence of God, doing a wonderful work for God. It is a continuation of who she was here on planet Earth. And so how in the world did she get that address? She got the address because in Hebrews 1:3, she realized that Christ purged her sins with his own blood before he sat down at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, if you intend on going to heaven, it will be only because someone purged your sins with his blood. And I'm happy to report, according to Hebrews 2:9, everyone in this room fits that description. Believe today and be saved. One last thought. Thank you. beautiful. Amy, that was incredibly strong of you. Thank you very much for that ministry to us. Let us all stand together. I'd ask you to remain in your place until the family has left the sanctuary. And we'll take direction from the funeral home after we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Thank you, O God, for the assurance that you are taking good care of Sister Eileen. Now, O God, bring comfort and peace that the world does not give to her family here behind. Scripture says in John 14, my peace I give with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. So in these days to come, I pray that the church will not be trite about the struggle and the heaviness that this family feels, but that we will anticipate with them a mourning to this night. Hear our prayers because of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.